I'm talking on making a difference in your home, and don't worry, I only have like 6 pages of him, so this shouldn't take real long. When I am go through what I have, then Kelsey is going to. We locked her out. Oh no, it's not her. Kelsey Anderson. Oh, there you are. You are here. Good. Okay. Is going to talk about her experience in living as a roommate with different people and how she's let God work through that. So this was a really hard class for me to study about because, first of all, what is home? You know, there's so many different kinds of homes and households. And so first thing I thought of was this quote from a Robert Frost poem, because, and I'm going to tell you it just because I really like Robert Frost. It may not have much to do with the lesson, but he said in the poem, The Death of a Hired Hand, he says, home is where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. And I think that's true. It's like, it's the people who will take you in when you have nowhere else to go. The dictionary definition of home is a place where one lives, especially as a member of a family or a household. But that can look really different. You know, there are different kinds of households. You can live with unrelated roommates. You could be a single person living on your own. You could be a young married couple. You could be married with children. You could be a single parent family. You could be a blended family. You could be an empty nester. So there, you know, when I was trying to think, well, what does God say about our homes and what do people need to hear? I thought, well, which people? You know, because there are so many different kinds of homes. And so I hope whatever situation you're in, you can take these things from God's word and kind of plug it into, okay, well, this part applies to what I'm doing. So I think I have been all of those things at one time, except for a blended family or a single parent family. And so for those of you who don't know me, I have been a Christian. It will be 37 years this October. And in that time, I have been a roommate. I have lived alone. I have been married. And then I have been married with children. And now my husband of 32 years and I are empty nesters because Andy finally moved out. After 27 years, he has his own place. So I'm really excited about that. And I have not always made a positive, godly difference in my home. And I still don't always make a positive, godly difference in my home because I'm a sinner and God is still transforming me and there are still ways that I fall short. And so please don't think I'm up here talking about this today because I have all the answers and that my home is perfect and I've done everything to God the way God would have me to do it, because that would not be true. And in fact, now I'm 60 years old and I'm at a point in my life where I can look back and see things I wish I had known then, and I wish I had done differently or said differently or not said or not done, or, you know, and especially with regards to raising children. And because, you know, you're just doing the best you know how. And so anyway, here's the big problem with making a difference in our homes is that we are more ourselves at home than probably anywhere else. Because home is where we go to kind of let our hair down, let it all hang out. You know, this is who I really am. You probably heard the quote, the person you are is the person you really are is the person you are when you think no one is looking. And when we're at home, we think nobody's looking. And so we can have a bad attitude or we can, you know, just be ourselves. And that's not true, because somebody is looking. We have an impact on our homes, on our spouses, on our children, on our roommates, on our extended families when we go home to visit if we're a college student. And even when we live alone, we impact our friends by how we're living at home when we're all alone and who we are then. Who we are at home will quite often reveal if we're just hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Somebody who goes to church is somebody who can quote the Bible, but we're not obeying it. And that will show up at home. So I hope one of the things we'll learn in this lesson is making a difference in my home really begins with me letting Christ transform me. Okay? So So what does the Bible say about home? Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 4 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." So what I learned from this verse is a house or a home is not built well by accident. Wisdom and knowledge and understanding is necessary, and it's an intentional thing. It's on purpose. We're building this home on purpose. God is telling us, give careful thought to how my home is being built and furnished. And when he talks about how it will be filled with rare and beautiful treasures, I don't think he's talking about the decor and the furniture. It could be. But I think he's also talking about things like peace. Would a home filled with peace be rare and beautiful? Or how about a home that is a safe place to be? Not just physically, but emotionally safe to be there. Or one that's pleasant to be in, or where the members of the household love and serve each other. Or how about a home that's a place of spiritual growth? Or a home that is happy? If you look around our world, a home like that would be rare and beautiful. So we're supposed to be intentional and on purpose be using wisdom and understanding and knowledge to build our home. But Psalms 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain." So that verse is saying God builds it. And if we try to do it on our own, we're wasting our time. I used to think a lot of things that were wrong. And one of the things I used to think is that God gave commands to me and then just sort of sat back to see how I was going to do it and if I was going to do it right or even very well. And then he was going to judge me on how poorly I performed. It was a very performance-based relationship with God. And it kind of made him over there and me over here, and I'm just trying to please him because I don't want him mad at me. And it was like my father once told me, my father was not a Christian, and he once said, this is what God is like. God is like somebody who takes a log that has ants on it and throws it in the fire and then watches to see what the ants will do. And that's how I felt. I'm like an ant on a log, and God is just watching me to see, is she going to do what I said? Is she going to do it the right way? Is she going to do it fast enough? Is she going to do it good enough? I was never fast enough. I was never good enough. But that's not what God is saying at all. I was wrong. God is not standing back and critiquing us. What he is saying in Psalm 127, he's saying, look, I'm going to build the house, Debbie. All you have to do is trust me and obey me and let me take care of it. And you know that song, Trust and Obey? Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Those two things really go together, and the older I get, the more I see. You know, if I trust that God is who he says he is, that his character is what it says in the Bible, and that he will do what he said he will do, and I believe that, it's a lot easier for me to obey him. Okay? So I'm not obeying God so he will approve of me. I'm obeying God because I believe that he's going to take care of me. And that's a big difference. So as we're building our home, don't be thinking, okay, I have to grunt and make my home everything it ought to be. God's going to build your home. You concentrate on just obeying God, and he'll take care of that. I have no segue to this next thought, so I'm just going to jump right into it. When my kids were young, the church was very small. We were about 30 people. We used to meet in Tim and Denise's old house's family room in the basement. You remember that? off of College Avenue, right next to the Amtrak tracks. And we had a single-minded focus on evangelism. That was what you did. That was the way to serve. And my kids were like a baby and two. And I kind of looked at my kids and I'm like, they're in the way. They're an obstacle. How am I supposed to reach out to people? I have to be home changing diapers and making bottles and taking care of these kids. And that was wrong. I really regret that. And what I want to tell you is your home is the beginning of your ministry. These people in your home, whether they're a roommate or a child or a spouse, that's where your ministry starts. And they're included in that. And now, I don't think that's where it ends. But don't ever think, well, these people in my home are an obstacle to me serving God, because they're not. Which leads me to this other thought, that the way to have a home filled with rare and beautiful treasures does not depend on me changing the other people in my home. It doesn't depend on what my husband does, or what my roommate does, or how my children behave, or any of that. Because we can't change those people. God can change those people. All I can do is let God transform me. And so it really comes down to me submitting to and obeying God, letting Him transform me. So what is God telling me I need to do or listen to regarding my home? So I have 4 points. The first one is saturate your home in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Man, that's saturation, isn't it? It's everywhere. Talk about it when you lay down. Talk about it when you get up. Talk about it when you're going someplace. Have it on the walls. Have it on the door. One of the things I would recommend if you have children, and I'm going to talk about this mostly from the aspect of having a family with children, and then Kelsey's going to talk more about roommates, just because I've spent 27 years of my life as a mother with children at home. One of the things I did is I would have my quiet time when it was quiet, and that meant the kids were either at school or someplace else, or they were in bed asleep. And that worked really great for me, but then my kids never saw me having the Bible open. My kids never saw me praying or having a devotional time. And so how were they supposed to know that Mom even did that? How are they supposed to know it was important to me if I never did it in front of them? So even though the house may be a little noisy when they're up, I think it's a great idea to have your quiet time, or at least have some kind of devotional, have some kind of time in the Word where your kids see you do that. And they know that, well, Mom just does that. This is what we do in our family. You know, we read the Bible and we pray. Another thing you can do is you can share your quiet time. Share what you're learning with your roommates or with your family. When you have lunch after church on Sunday, talk about what did you learn in the sermon? What really stood out to you? You know, when you go home, talk about a couple of points that really hit you from this weekend, the women's retreat. Another thing that you can do is memorize scripture together. Have little post-it notes on the bathroom mirror or throughout the house or on the dashboard of the car or different places. Memorizing scripture can be hard work, especially when you get older. It helps me a lot to set it to music, and I have made up little ditties, you know, like Hebrews 11:6 is Hebrews 11:6, anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists, and, you know, it helps me remember that, you know. But Elena, my daughter, with her kids, she has found this group is called Seeds Family. I can't read my writing. Worship. Seeds Family Worship. And you can find these on YouTube. And if you go to their website, they have some of it available free, or you can order their CDs. And it's just scripture set to music. And it's meant to use with your kids, but I would use it. I've heard them, and they're really catchy tunes. And it's, you've heard it?
Philippians 4:6-7. And we sing it at home all the time.
Yeah.
And it's the whole scripture.
Yeah. So that's an easy way to memorize scripture. So try those kind of things. You know, expose your family, your household, to the Word of God. Number two, set an example as a kind and considerate person. Colossians 3:18 through 4:21. Now, as I read this, think about their relationships and what is the scripture saying about their relationships. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Now, our households may look a little different than what he's talking about, but that was not uncommon back in those days, so that was your household. And it's all about, you know, wives, how to treat your husband, how to treat your wife, children, how to treat your parents, how to treat your kids, slaves and masters, how to treat each other. And God wants us to be kind and considerate to each other. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So one of the things we need to do to have a house filled with rare and beautiful treasures is just to be kind and considerate to the people we live with. Don't keep score of who's doing more. Consider how you can make the other person's life better. I like to listen to this Christian psychologist, I guess he is, Dr. Randy, I can't think of his name, it's Intentional Living. It's on Bot Radio. And he just talks about living the intentional life. You're doing it on purpose. You have the family you have the relationship you have, because that's what you intended for it to be. And one of the things he talks about is the power of one thing. And he says, what's one thing you can do in the next 24 hours that will make a difference? So I would apply this to this. What can I do in the next 24 hours that would make my roommate or my spouse's or my kid's life better? Is it taking out the trash or emptying the dishwasher? Is it doing a load of laundry for them? Is it making a nice meal? Is it just sitting down and talking to them for a little bit? You know, just one thing in the next 24 hours. It helps to bring it down to, okay, I can't do everything, but I can do one thing. And it leads us to action. I'm going to do it in the next 24 hours, because otherwise I'll never do it. Another thing, don't expect recognition for the kindness that you show. We should be kind and considerate because we are kind and considerate, and not because somebody else notices it and comments on it. And it's not about what my roommate should be doing for me. It's all about what I can do to help my roommate. And then one more thing about being kind and considerate. I think being considerate goes into our communication too. And so we don't want to hold a grudge. We don't want to make the people we live with guess why we're upset or what we need. We want to just be honest and tell them. I used to play that game with Chris. If he really loved me, I wouldn't have to tell him. He would just know what I need, you know. And that wasn't fair to him. So tell other people, communicate with them, and then ask those. It's not just one way, me telling you what I need. It's me asking you, what do you need, you know, and listening to the other person. Okay, number three, make sharing your home just something that you do. 1 Peter 4:9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And Romans 12:13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Practicing hospitality, inviting other Christians into your home, strengthens that family bond we all share. And we've been talking a lot about shared life or how we're a family. And that strengthens that bond. And it helps your household establish relationships with some other Christians. And it's just God's will. You know, he just said, be hospitable. And he's talking specifically, be hospitable to other Christians. So, but we also want to share our home with non-Christians in an attempt to influence their lives for Christ. And doing that, bringing people into your home and your kids seeing that you're reaching out to this person or your roommate seeing that, they're going to see that being an ambassador for Christ is something normal and fun to do. And so they will grow up thinking this is what we do. You know? And also, your roommates can help you and your family can help you reach out to people. You know, so if you're hospitable, you'll be encouraged and you'll encourage others. And one thing I learned years ago when our kids were small, that hospitality doesn't have to be fancy. And I used to really worry about this. Well, my house isn't that great, or I'm not that great a cook, I like somebody else for dinner, you know. And we had a family, they had four kids, and at that time we just had, Elena was a baby. And they invited us over after Sunday night service, and they fed us bologna sandwiches and potato chips on paper plates. And we might have had Kool-Aid, but maybe it was tea, you know. But and that was it. And we had a great time, and that was the night I learned, you don't have to be fancy or spend a lot of money to be hospitable. You know, they made us feel loved and welcome. They just wanted to spend time with us, and all they could feed us was bologna, and we had a great time. I mentioned that my son Andy, he's 27, he just moved out. Andy has some executive order function difficulties because he has Asperger's. And it makes it, he could explain calculus to you, but he can't figure out where to put his socks. He has to have a label on his drawer, socks go in here. And so he just moved out after 27 years. I hope this thing is recording because it's not moving. Anyway, but he and Nathan Ward lived together, and I was so impressed with them because he said, Nathan and I sat down and we talked about what kind of home do we want to have? What are we going to do about inviting people over? I want to invite people over, and we want to reach out to them. How are we going to do that? Are you okay with that? Yeah, I'm okay with that. We want to do this. And they talked about how we want our home to be a place where people can come and they can hang out, and it gives them a chance to develop the relationship with them and hopefully share Christ with them. And that is the kind of home they have. They have people over all the time. And I'm just so proud of both of those young men and how they're using their resources in their home to reach out to other people and to encourage other Christians. Okay. The fourth point I have is make praying together a routine in your home. And this comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, pray continually. So in your home, pray before meals. If you're taking your kids to school, pray on the way to school. Pray before bed. Go on prayer walks. Make a prayer list together. You know, when our kids are little and you're handing them a cookie and you say to them, what do you say? And they say, peace. Well, there's your cookie. You know, or somebody hands them something and we say, what do you say? Thank you. Yeah, okay, that's nice. And we do it over and over and over and over and over. So by the time they reach like two or three, you hand them, they ask for something, they say, could I have a drink, please? And you don't have to prompt them. It's just what they do. That's how you talk in our house. And I think it's the same thing with praying. If we are praying continually with our kids, and we do it over and over and over and over, they're just going to see, well, praying is what we do. You know, and it's not going to be like, oh, I need to pray, or I didn't think about praying. It's just automatic. Like, I don't think about saying please and thank you. And my kids don't, and my grandkids don't, because somebody drilled it into them when they were younger. And so let's, you know, pray with our kids. And one thing I learned with my husband is, we've been married for 32 years, and not all of them have been happy years. In fact, the first decade or two, we're not very happy at all because, you know, we didn't know how to be married. You know? And so, anyway, one of the things I used to do was pray about him all the time. And it was really kind of like a venting session to God. You know, all the things that are wrong with Chris and how he doesn't treat me right and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that and he didn't say this and he should have noticed that I had new earrings and he never said anything. And, excuse me. But when I changed that, and I stopped praying about him, and I started praying for him, God bless him. God help him with his problem at work. God help him to be the man I know you want him to be. Praying for him. It was amazing how my attitude toward him changed. And I was no longer angry and hurt and disappointed. I was more like feeling like, man, I'm really blessed to have this guy in my life. And so when you're praying about the people in your household, don't pray about them. Pray for them. How many of you have seen that movie, The War Room? It's a great movie. I highly recommend it. And there's a lot of Christian movies I don't like because sometimes they're just silly. Okay, but this was not, I didn't think it was silly. This woman prayed for her husband. Her marriage was falling apart. And what she did is pray. She prayed for him. She didn't pray about him. She started to. This mentor came into her life. And they were going to get together once a week. And the first time they got together, she's like, oh, my husband did this and he does that. He just doesn't understand all this. And her mentor said, we only have 1 hour. Are you going to spend the whole hour griping about your husband or do you want to do something about it? And she's like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to pray for him. And so anyway, it's a great movie to watch. Remember, it is just a movie. Problems in real life do not get solved in 2 hours of praying. Okay? But so those are my 4 points. But I wanted to just leave, before Kelsey comes up and talks about being a roommate, I wanted to just leave some advice that didn't fit anywhere, because Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail without good advice, but they succeed when there are many advisors. So these are some things that I did when we were raising kids. I would find godly parents with kids the same age or older than mine and ask them, if you've been through this, my kids are going, we're going through this right now with them. Have you been through this? How did you handle it? What did you do? What would you do differently? It was really helpful to us. Find godly marriages a little further down the road than you. When we first moved out here, Chris and I had been married for a year and a half. Tim and Denise had been married for like 6 years. So we would go out on double dates with them, and you know Tim, he would just tell everything. And it was really helpful to us. First of all, my husband saw, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just a woman. And he's like, you're not crazy. Are all women this way? I'm like, yeah, I think we are. And but it encouraged us that we're not alone. We're not the only people who struggle. And they could tell us, here's what we did to get over that hump. And so that was great. Seek advice from, when you're going home for the holidays or for the summer, seek advice from people who have experience going home to live with their non-Christian family. Because that's a hard thing to do. How do you maintain your walk with God when everyone in your household is indifferent or maybe even hostile to that? Seek advice from other roommates who are setting a godly example, or from families that are known for being hospitable. You know, look around and say, who is doing what it is that I want to become like, and then spend some time with them and ask them some questions. And keep it simple. Don't try to tackle everything all at once. You know, God's not going to transform you like this, you know, today. Just remember that power of the one thing and pick out one thing. I'm going to try this one thing. I'm going to try it in the next 24 hours, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray with my kids when I put them to bed tonight. And we're going to do that for a while. And then after a while, I'm going to add another one thing, you know. And just keep adding those one thing at a time, and pretty soon you're going to see a big difference. So making a difference in my home does not depend on God changing the other people in my home, but it depends on me just obeying God and trusting that He'll do what He said and fill my home with rare and beautiful treasures. And so now I want Kelsey to come up, and hope I haven't talked too long. No, I think we're okay. You got about 6 minutes, Kelsey.
All right. Hello, ladies. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelsey. I serve in our campus ministry, and I have been a Christian for just barely over 5 years. I turned 5 in February. Let's see. Over the years of, I guess, with me being a Christian and living different places, I have had a variety of different roles. I have been a sister and a daughter. I have been a granddaughter, and I have been a friend. And God's really used all these different experiences to teach me how to make my home a godly place. So I've moved a lot. I've kind of been all over the place. There was a point in my life where people would jokingly call me a nomad because I would just bounce from like place to place. So bear with me as I try to like piece the story together for you guys. Okay, so I became a Christian when I was 20. And then that summer, I turned 21 and I moved into a house with two other girls in my campus ministry. And, okay, so I'm about like 4 months old as a Christian. I'm like an infant. I'm really, really impressionable. Luckily, I was really, really eager to learn. I loved God and I wanted to learn about Him. But there was just a lot that I didn't know. And I was really blessed for the roommates that I had because it was their teaching me, it was their example that really showed me how to live. And it was through like people coming up to me and like giving me like a challenge, like, hey, I noticed like you came home really mad this day and you have this really big attitude, you know, how does this reflect Christ? And then it was also too through like them coming home, and if they had a bad day at work, if they had a bad day at school, maybe it was just how they handled the situation with a different roommate, them being aware of the example that they were setting for me and coming back to me and apologizing like, hey, you know, I was thinking, like, you were here when this happened. I know you saw it all, and I just wanted to let you know, like, this wasn't right. This doesn't reflect Christ, and I'm really sorry for that being the example to you. And the apologies is definitely something that I had to learn about because as I grew in my faith and lived in different places, I ended up living with people who were baby Christians, and I had to go back and do the same things. When I was younger, when I was the baby Christian living in my first home, life was kind of, it was just a lot of fun. It was a big party for me. I knew I loved God, and I wanted to learn as much as I could about Him, but I didn't understand my purpose. So we would open up our home for small groups, different cross chat things. Girls would come over for sleepovers. We'd invite people over and make them dinner. We did all kinds of different things like that. But for me, it was really just more about fun, and I hadn't really grasp my purpose to make it for His kingdom yet. So there were a couple of other experiences after that where I lived with different girls in the campus ministry. And at this point in my life, I'm a little bit older than my faith. I've learned more. I understand more. I kind of had this really big breakthrough with my purpose and was really like fueled by that. So in the house I lived in after that, I was always really excited to like have people over to study the Bible. I remember I was reaching out to a girl with one of my roommates, and she was telling us, oh, I don't know, I think I'm going to get kicked out of my house. And I'm like, well, we don't have much, but we have an extra couch, and we'd only known her for like a couple of days. We're like, if you need something, like if there's anything we can do, you can come over. People were there literally all the time. I loved it. And I had lived with two girls that I'm really grateful to have had the experience with because they continued to teach me so much just about living in at home. Some things that we did when I moved in there was we got together and we set together different like standards that we wanted our home to be. We talked about wanting it to be a home of integrity, a home of prayer, and really just trying to work together to find ways that we could show Christ in our home. We wanted it to be peaceful and how we were going to work out our conflict together and hold each other to working out our conflict with one another. So in the next place I lived, I was with two other girls again. This is probably like my most recent friend living situation. We lived in a really small apartment. And at this point, I'm older in my faith. I was probably 20, 3:24-ish, and I have a full-time job now. I'm taking college classes. I'm discipling a group of girls in ministry. So my responsibility load has picked up, like, immensely, and things became a little bit more stressful for me. I was kind of transitioning to a different part of my life. We still had people over all the time. It was nonstop. On Saturdays, we would just open up the house, and tons of girls would come over so that they could go to church with us in the morning if they needed a ride. If there was a girl who lived on campus, we'd go get them that Saturday, spend the night with us, take them to church. Or if it was people, hey, we have this Bible study, and we don't have anywhere to do it. Can we come to your place? It's close in the area. Open up the house. Let them come and do that. We would have small groups. We would have girl time, and it was three of us trying to have the different girl time, so there was like always a group of people there trying to do that, and it was a blast. I loved it. It was really fun, but it was definitely more challenging for me because as I'm taking on this responsibility, or the more responsibility in my life, I became a little more stingy, like, with my area, or like my space and my sleep and my comfort. Ashley and I, one of my roommates, we shared a bedroom. We had two twin beds, and we just ended up pushing our beds together so that we could have more space for girls to sleep whenever they came over. And I remember one night, it was a Saturday, and it was after I'd had a really long week. We had like a whole bunch of girls over, and there were four or five of us in our two twin beds, and I remember being like shoved up against the wall like this, and it was hot. Somebody was snoring. Somebody was breathing really loud. I couldn't sleep, and then I'm like, you know what? We got a couch. I'm going to go out to the living room. Well, I go out to the living room, and there's an air mattress on the floor. Somebody's in our big chair. Somebody's on the couch, and I'm like, well, dang it. I can't sleep out here. I can't even sleep on the floor. And I'm like, I'll sleep with Chelsea. Chelsea's got a queen-size bed. Someone's already sleeping with Chelsea. So I go back to my little, like, you know, like, spot, like, that much room between the wall and the bed. And I remember being, like, super grumpy over all of it. And, like, we've got to get up for church in the morning. And I can't sleep. And I'm tired. And there's people always here. And just having this moment of, like, I want my apartment back. But then, like, maybe a day or two realizing, and after talking to some people about it and having them challenge me and just remind me, like, my home is not my own. My home is God, and it was a matter of it's God's, and it's a matter of perspective. I wanted to use my home to better God's kingdom and to create more opportunity to make his kingdom better and to really take myself out of it. And, of course, having to go back and apologize for having, you know, my attitude to the girls and being grumpy and complaining about all of the different things that I was a grump about. But it was, at the end of the day, it was a blast, and it's all been like a huge learning opportunity. Living there, my role had changed from being the baby Christian in the house to mentoring more of the younger Christian in the house, and being able to build and strengthen that discipling relationship. And still having one of my bigger sisters living with me to help me do it. It was kind of like a chain thing through the ministry. It worked out really well. So that's my experience as a friend. I've also lived with my family in between all of these different friend living situations. And that hasn't always been very easy for me. I've lived with my parents, and my brother has lived at home with us as well. I love my family fiercely. I really do. But my mother and I are like the same person, so we butt heads all of the time. We just clash really easily, and for some reason, I have no patience when it comes to her. She can do absolutely nothing wrong, and I'm like, why are you doing that? It's just like a really huge weakness for me. And then there's my brother, who is like my polar opposite, and we clash for that reason, and we just kind of get under each other's skin. And I do love them, though, I promise. We just have our hard times. But with that being said, like Debbie said, at home, people see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And living with my family, it's been a lot easier for the people for my family to see my ugly side. And that's always been difficult for me. My family, they're not all Christians. My dad is, but my mom and my brother aren't. And I'm supposed to be their light. I'm supposed to be showing them Christ. And I'm snapping off at them every, 2 minutes over whatever little thing that they've done that's bothered me. So I really, over the years, have had to work to change my heart and pray for God to change my heart, really, and just to teach me how to love them better and how to be a better light to them when living in the home. And it's been going out of my way to help serve my parents. My parents move a lot too, so it's been helping them pack up different things, clean a house before they move, yard work, carrying in groceries. I'm not always good at it, and it's something I'm definitely still learning. I don't live with them now, but when I'm there, it's still things that I try to be really aware of. I've been a granddaughter. I lived with my granny for a summer. I love my granny very, very much. She had a stroke when I lived there, so I definitely had to take on more of the role of being a servant to her. It was a really hard time for her because she was losing a lot of her mobility. Praise God, she's made a full recovery. But she's just a really stubborn and independent person, and she didn't like having any of the temporary handicaps that she did, so she was kind of hard to live with through that. But I had to choose, when she was short with me, just to put a smile on my face and say, oh, I'm sorry you wanted it this way. What can I do differently next time? Even though I know I tried my hardest, to go out of my way and do something extra for her. So those have been my experiences, and if there's anything that I've learned, it's just learning to be intentional with your home, and it's learning to be aware of what you're saying, because you're not alone. When I was a baby Christian, I was watching the people who left a lasting impression on me, and as I grew in my faith, I learned that there were other people who were watching me in my home and how I would leave an impression on them. So that's pretty much my story of living with people. The end.